They found two smaller side caves before discovering a fourth, in which the Japanese had left artifacts behind. This chamber had a dozen iron bunks bolted to the floor and several flimsy pressed metal cabinets along one wall. As Juan checked the drawers, Link examined the bedsteads.
"You wouldn't think they would have bothered giving their prisoners beds," Link said.
"There's nothing in any of these drawers," Juan looked at Lincoln. "They needed the beds because they had to restrain their victims. Someone intentionally infected with typhus, cholera, or some type of poison gas is going to thrash around."
Franklin snapped his hands away from the metal bunk as though he'd been burned. They found four more side chambers like this one, some large enough to hold 40 beds. They also found a small, waist-high cave entrance in the main tunnel. Juan wriggled his head and shoulders into the aperture and saw that the cave beyond dropped precipitously. At the extreme end of his light's range, he could see the floor of the cavern littered with all sorts of unidentifiable junk. This had been a communal dump, and amid the rubbish were human bones. They had become disjointed over the decades, so Cabrillo couldn't tell how many there were. 500 would be a conservative estimate.
"This place is like a slaughterhouse," he said when he pulled himself free. "A death factory. I think the surface facility was used solely to maintain the secret laboratories down here, where they experimented with the really nasty stuff. Using a cave system meant they could isolate it in a hurry if they ever had a viral outbreak."
"Ruthless and efficient."
There was no admiration in Link's voice.
"The Japanese could have taught the Nazis a thing or two."
At last, they came to the end of a long tunnel. A section of the roof had collapsed, and both men recognized that it had been blasted free. Juan inhaled next to the mound of rubble, noting that a faint trace of explosive lingered.
"This was brought down recently."
"When the responsivists pulled out?"
Juan nodded, not giving in to his disappointment just yet. He scrambled up the sloping pile of loose rocks, his feet dislodging debris as he neared the top. He pressed himself flat and ran the light along the seam where the shattered stone met the ceiling. He called down for Link to join him.
"There was nothing in this catacomb that the responsivists would care that we see. It's all just old junk left by the Japanese army."
"So whatever they're hiding is beyond this. What are we waiting for?"
An hour of backbreaking work left Juan's tongue a sticky, swollen mass. Bit by bit, they burrowed their way into the rubble, moving carefully, testing the ceiling to ensure their actions didn't bring down more of the shattered stone. They changed positions every 30 minutes. Juan was at the rock face again and reached for a handhold on a particularly large stone, but no matter how he tried, he couldn't loosen it from the rest.
"What's the problem?" Link panted behind him.
Juan had to work his tongue around his mouth to loosen his jaw enough to speak.
"There's a stone here I can't move."
"Let me at it."
They laboriously swapped places, with Link moving feet first into the tight space. He braced his boots against the rock and his back against Cabrillo's outstretched legs and brought his strength to bear. Link let out a growl, and the rock slid up and out of its socket of loose stones and packed dirt like a rotten tooth.
"Now that's what I'm talking about," he whooped.
"Nicely done, big man."
Link was able to wriggle forward into the passage, and as Juan followed him, he realized he was gaining headroom. They had crossed the highest point of the debris pile and were making their way down the backside. Soon, he and Link could crawl over the remaining stones on their hands and knees, and then they could stand upright, so they walked down the last of the rubble and onto the cave floor. When Juan pointed the light back at the pile, the gap near the top seemed impossibly small. He and Link rested for a few minutes, with the flashlight off to conserve its batteries.
"Smell that?"
Juan asked.
"Seawater."
He got to his feet and turned on the light again.